The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning, Glory America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. I'm Hugh Hewitt live. I am inside the Beltway this morning, and I hope you are watching on the Salem News Channel app, because I've just concluded legacy media has just gone over to the left side of the country. They are partisan Democrats, and you shouldn't be watching them. Deny them your money, deny their advertisers your eyeballs. Go get the Salem News Channel app and start putting me on in the morning. If you have Roku TV, you can just put me on there already and other devices, but download it, put it on your app, and put it up on your screen. Let me begin with the White House presser that President Biden gave yesterday, because I want to get this straight. It's Omicron, not Omnicron, no matter what the president says. Cut number six.
Today, I want to take a few moments to talk about the new COVID variant, first identified last week in southern Africa. It's called the Omicron. It is the, to their credit, the scientific community in South Africa quickly notified the world of the emergence of this new variant. This kind of transparency is to be encouraged and applauded because it increases our ability to respond quickly to any new threats. And that's exactly what we did. The very day the World Health Organization identified the new variant, I took immediate steps to restrict travel from countries in southern Africa. But while we have that travel restrictions can slow the speed of Omicron, it cannot prevent it.
Okay, Omicron doesn't actually exist. And I'm sure Deputy President Ron Klain winced each time he said Omicron. It's not Omicron, it's Omicron. So Omicron is coming, and you need to get boosted. Now to the rundown. The CDC says everyone 18 and older should get COVID-19 booster due to Omicron variant. I agree. I've told you that many times. I'm vaccinated twice, and I have my booster. And that was before Omicron came along. However, I do not blame you if you are confused, because 2 months ago, the FDA advisory panel told everyone under the age of 65 not to get the booster. That was because the FDA advisory panels were full of whack job academics who brought in equity issues as opposed to pure science, which has happened to the CDC, the FDA, and the NIH repeatedly. And our public health agencies need a clean sweep right now so that people can get some degree of confidence back into the folks who are now politicized, tired, exhausted, and utterly confused. And whether it's Dr. Walensky, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Collins, being the gracious and good man that he is, has announced his retirement at the end of the year. Someone new will be at NIH. They need new and credible people. Dr. Fauci should retire as well. Dr. Walensky should be replaced. And Deputy President Klain knows that. Let's get on with the business, because if they're saying don't get boosted in September and then they're urgently urging you to get boosted in November, something is very wrong with those agencies. Very wrong. And Omicron is not the reason they did that. They did it because of politics. It's always been obvious to me, I've said it 1,000 times on this show, that everyone needs to go and get boosted, because you don't want to get sick and you don't want to die. And the people who are dying in the United States, more than 9 out of 10 of them, of the virus, and there are more than 1,000 people a day who are still doing that in the United States, are doing so because they did not get vaccinated and have no ability to fight back against the disease when it spreads across the country wave after wave, variant after variant. Go get vaccinated. Go get your booster. It's free. Go to a pharmacy. I think CVS now makes you make an appointment, but most people can walk in most places. Now, the vaccine makers are preparing for the worst case, that they might have to re-engineer the variant to deal with the differentiation between Omicron and Delta, but they're ready to do it, the Wall Street Journal reports. Testing just started, but they have concerns that, you know, production will lag. And there's going to be a prospect of new demand for booster shots, which also they've got to ramp up production. So they're doing it. We're America. Thank God we live in America. The world is shutting down its borders because of Omicron. Japan has acted with the most significant dragnet, the New York Times reports this morning. With the emergence of the new Omicron variant of coronavirus last week, countries across the globe have closed their border. Japan has gone further than most other countries, announcing on Monday that the world's third largest economy would be closed off to travelers from everywhere. So if you were planning on a winter trip, forget it. And by the way, don't go to the Olympics, which is being hosted by the genocidal government of China anyway, so you shouldn't want to go there to begin with. Omicron adds more uncertainty for business. Now, the online businesses of the world, Zoom and Amazon, Walmart and Costco, their executives are looking around saying, another great quarter ahead. Excuse me, people are going to not go shopping at the same level. Now, I'm not going to stop because I've been vaccinated and I've got a booster. I'm not going to hesitate. But there are many, many millions of Americans who have health fragilities that preclude their getting vaccinated. And they may hold back. Or there may be some people who have stubbornly said, I'm not going to get vaccinated, not now, not ever, never, who secretly wish they could get vaccinated and don't want to be embarrassed. Be embarrassed. Don't be dead. Go get vaccinated. But some can't go out. So those people are definitely going back to internet shopping. Jerome Powell, the head of the Fed, is going to testify today. And the investment community, which is reeling in, I'm going to do a market update earlier today. The investment community is reeling under the fears of Omicron and shutdowns and lockdowns, etc. And England and Europe, they had big sell-offs this morning. We're down, let me see, France is down 1.31%. This is brought to you by Birch Gold, by the way. Market updates in the first hour are brought to you by Birch Gold. Go to HughGold.com to buy your gold, roll over your IRA, change your 401 up to include gold. Birch Gold is the people to do it. They are very, very well respected. They have great customer service. They have great reviews. That's who I buy my gold from whenever it hits my buy point, which is $2,000 an ounce, because then we're tipping over into hyperinflation. This morning, gold is at $1,796, up about 1% from yesterday. That's $1,796. Buying your gold from Birch Gold is a good move. You can only do that by going to Hugh Gold or texting my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747, H-U-G-H, to 474747. Meanwhile, in France, it is down 1.16%, Germany 1.35%, England 1.09%. The 10-year Treasury slipped down to 1.53%. And the world awaits what Jerome Powell will say today, because if he's worried, if his governors at the board of the Fed are worried, they will all act to say, you know what, we're going to buy more bonds, we're going to paper more money. And that's all the Fed can do, because interest rates are zero, effectively zero. Meanwhile, other news across the world. The U.S. and allies are weighing a response to the Russian military buildup around the world. There's a meeting of NATO foreign ministers. You know, Anthony Blinken comes in. I have very good friends with Tony Blinken, and they love him. But I do think he's the smallest guy in every room. And I think that matters when you're talking about Putin. And Putin is planning to invade the Ukraine. It's not like it's a secret. He got 100,000 people there. If you want to deter him, send some NATO troops to Ukraine. That's how you deter it. All right? So they're not doing that because they don't want to have a war with them. And if you don't want to have a war with them, you're not really deterring them. Unless you send Ukraine every anti-tank weapon there is and every artillery piece and everything else that can be used to blow up Russian tanks. Because that's what's coming in. Not little green men, but Russian tanks. So this is not having meetings in Riga, Latvia, do not do the trick. That's not going to do it. What's going to do it is serious deterrence. In the Wall Street Journal, workers quit jobs in droves to become their own boss. The pandemic has unleashed a historic burst in entrepreneurship and self-employment. Hundreds of thousands of Americans are striking out on their own as consultants, retailers, and small business owners. Good. You'll be happier. If you're working for yourself, you'll be happier. I've never not worked for myself since leaving law school in 1983. And I want to tell you, it's a great thing. Now, I've sometimes worked for other people at the same time, but I've always been writing or speaking or teaching on the side because I believe in a platform life. I have a few sources of income, so you're not... Dwayne in there works for Salem, but he's also a baseball umpire. Now, they would like to fire him. They would really love to fire him because he's made everybody mad over 21 years. But I'm never going to get rid of him. We love him. Meanwhile, the French prime minister has offered Boris Johnson a new migration deal after people by the dozens are dying in the English Channel. Way to go, France. This is why we're better than France. We don't let thousands of people, hundreds of people die until we decide that it's better to actually do something smart rather than save face. We are all about doing the right thing, which is why, listen to me, Ron Klain, I know you are, fire Tony Fauci, fire Rochelle Walensky, and get some people in that the American people will listen to, because if Omicron is bad, the president has to learn to pronounce it, and the people that make the announcements have to be credible. Right now, they're not. More coming up in the live broadcast from the Beltway of The Hugh Hewitt Show. Go get the Salem News Channel app. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. David Drucker is the Washington Examiner correspondent, who we love at this time of the week. He is also the author of In Trump's Shadow, which continues to sell like hotcakes in this season of giving. Good morning, David Drucker.
Good morning, Hugh.
Just reading in the Financial Times during the break, the chief executive of Moderna has predicted that the existing vaccines will be much less effective at tackling Omicron than earlier strains of coronavirus, and warned it would take months before pharmaceutical companies could manufacture new variant-specific jabs at scale. Have you heard that anywhere else, David?
Nowhere else.
So why is not the American Public Health Agency, CDC, FDA, NIH, leading on this instead of Anthony Fauci talking about January 6th? This is appalling that we have to hear this. That's the first I've heard of this either from a drug company manufacturer.
Well, look, that's a very good question. I don't know that I have a good answer for you. I mean, I think one of the things that has struck me throughout the entire pandemic is the difference between being a policymaker who has to consider a broad breadth of policy and the implications of those policies, and being an expert or being totally focused on healthcare or anything else. You know, it reminds me of going to see a doctor year after year. The doctor never tells you that it's okay to do something that might be unhealthy or pose a health risk. They just won't do it. But obviously, if you consider all of the things you have to do in your life, there are times regularly when you balance health concerns with economic concerns. And so I've taken my interpretation, my read on this concern about Omicron is that, again, we have an issue where if you ask any health expert, they're going to say that the only thing that matters is keeping people safe from this new variant. You talk to a policymaker, and we even saw that with the president of the United States yesterday, and they're going to take economic concerns and weigh them equally with health concerns because there is so much riding on both.
It's so easy, though, for Ron Klain or someone competent, and I'm taking the president and Tony Fauci out of this, to walk into the press room and say, Omicron is worrying because Moderna and other vaccine makers tell us the vaccines are probably not going to work at anything like the same degree of effectiveness as those currently in distribution. Therefore, we are urging extreme caution, but we have not yet adopted any policy steps. How hard is that to say?
It's not hard, but I wouldn't want to say that this soon if I were any of them, because one of the things we have learned about coronavirus is sometimes our initial read on medical treatment or vaccines are not the last word. And so I can understand initial caution. Sometimes I wish that would also apply to the health experts who come out with initial remarks that suggest the worst is yet to come, when in fact, we don't know if the worst is yet to come.
Well, look, all I did was state facts and uncertainty in my suggestion for Ron Klain. Listen to the president yesterday. Cut number five. We won't play this whole thing. Not cut number five. Cut number six. We won't play the whole thing. Just the beginning.
Today, I want to take a few moments to talk about the new COVID variant first identified last week in Southern Africa. It's called the Omicron.
Okay, stop. The president goes on to mispronounce the name again, the Omicron. It's It's Omicron.
It's a transformer, Hugh.
I know, it sounds like a transformer.
I'm waiting for the Decepticons and all the rest of them.
But Omicron, the president of the United States can't do that. And then he does this. Listen to this, cut number five.
President, the UK, Europe, and a growing number of countries have confirmed cases of Omicron. Are you considering additional travel restrictions on countries where the variant has been detected? And just separately, you urged Americans to wear masks in indoor public spaces, but many states and cities, including Washington, D.C., have lifted mask mandates. So are you calling on state and local officials to reinstate mask mandates?
With regard to the last question, the answer is I encourage everyone to wear a mask when they're indoors in a crowded circumstance like we are right now, and unless you're eating or speaking in a microphone.
And he rambles on for David Drucker. I want to make sure you get a chance to respond. He never answers the question about mask mandates and local government. He never answers it. I think he forgets it. This is reaching a crisis. The president can't remember questions and give answers. Doesn't everyone recognize this?
Well, I don't think everyone necessarily agrees with that. To me, it struck me, and I was listening to it in real time yesterday. It struck me that simply the president got himself into a box canyon of making a recommendation that didn't match up with the latest regulations as meted out by city health departments. And all of a sudden, he was a little bit of a policy and political quagmire there because he didn't want to start telling everybody what to do, but then realized he didn't want to undo his recommendation, and he didn't want to.
Oh, you're generous.
That was the only thing he was willing to do.
Oh, that's spirit of the season, David Drucker. That's very generous, David Drucker. We have a crisis coming. It might be very bad, according to Moderna, and we have a president who can't answer a question. But you're very generous, and I salute you for that. David M. Drucker on Twitter. Go get his book, In Trump's Shadow, and come right back for hour two of the Hugh Hewitt Show. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Morning glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. I'm Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway live on the last day of November 2021, joined by Byron York. You read him in the Washington Examiner. You should be getting his newsletter, and he's on Fox News often. Good morning, Byron.
Good morning, Hugh.
Minutes ago, the Financial Times reported that the Moderna chief announced, Moderna chief executive, that existing vaccines will be much less effective at tackling Omicron than earlier strains of the coronavirus, and warned it would take months before pharmaceutical companies could manufacture a new variant-specific jab at scale. Have you heard that before?
No. News to me.
News to me as well. What does that say to you about Deputy President Klain, Dr. Fauci's Collins, and Walensky?
Well, some of this, I think, is sort of understandable human error. When you believe, perhaps for ideological reasons, that something will work, and you begin to get proof that it doesn't work, your immediate prescription is to do more of that thing. And I think that while vaccinations did offer, I think provably offer, a lot of protection to the millions of Americans who got them, it's impossible to call them anything other than a disappointment in the sense that most Americans thought of vaccines as some of the sort of famous vaccines that we know of, where you get the vaccine and then you don't get the disease. And perhaps you're given protection, you're offered protection for the rest of your life. And now we have a vaccine in which you can get the disease, you can spread the disease, and the protection lasts maybe 6 months. So I think, while I thought at the time that the development of the vaccine in such a short period of time was President Trump's perhaps greatest achievement as he left office. You have to say now it's a much more complicated picture, and people are disappointed by what the vaccines turned out to be.
You know, Byron, I think, let me note, I think his greatest achievement is the Supreme Court, which I hope will strike down Roe v. Wade after arguments tomorrow. But Operation Warp Speed was amazing, and because of that, they will be able to recalibrate the vaccine in record time. I'm just saying that this announcement is new information that affects individual behavior in three ways. They're not telling me to do anything. They're just giving me information that affects my behavior. As a smart consumer of the vaccine and the booster, I say, huh? It's not. I really don't want to end up on a ventilator, and I do not want to be hospitalized, so I'll do whatever competent science tells me to do. However, one of two things is true. Either the government didn't know this, what the Moderna CEO told us, or they know it and haven't told us. So they are either incompetent or they are deceptive. There's a third possibility that Moderna's CEO is lying, but I don't think that is at all the case for a CEO of a publicly traded company to risk. So either they are incompetent or they are deceptive. Which do you think it is?
Well, what has been the reaction of the government, of the U.S. government, to the whole Omicron thing? It's to tell you to get vaccinated. They use every get vaccinated is their only policy prescription here. And like I said, the vaccines did offer protections, but they are so committed to one course of action that they really can't think of other things. This may seem a little bit out of left field, but it's kind of like the Republicans and tax cuts over the years. You know, if you're
no, I get it.
Needs washing, you know,
get a tax cut.
Taxes.
Now, Grover Norquist would also add, rename your car Ronald Reagan. But there are some.
But that was always their prescription.
And that was always Grover's answer. Rename it Ronald Reagan. And that was. There are some things that. And listen to the Hugh Hewitt Show, Byron. That's the other thing you should add in there. But watch Fox News, listen to the Hugh Hewitt Show. But I'm getting at, if it's a public health emergency, there's shattered credibility, and now we're going to bounce the rubble. Because Fauci is out there talking about January the 6th. Honestly, what is it? This is not hard. Tell people what you know. Tell people when you don't know things. And tell people when they ought to be honestly concerned. Because it doesn't look like that old vaccine is going to work. But you should get it anyway. Because it might. How hard is it to say that?
It's a terrible idea for Fauci to get involved in political spats and
too late.
It's a too late. Really, I know it's too late, but it's a really terrible idea. You know, being at a relative's house for Thanksgiving, there was a copy of kind of a legendary book called The Myth of Heterosexual AIDS, written by Michael Fumento.
Oh, I remember that.
And it was a very courageous and correct book. And there was a period in the AIDS crisis early on when public officials were predicting an explosion of heterosexual AIDS cases.
I remember that as well.
And that heterosexual women were the fastest growing group of. And this turned out to be not true. But, you know, the leading character in this prediction of this explosion and this incorrect knowledge being or information being given to the American people was Dr. Anthony Fauci, who we all, if you were alive during the AIDS crisis, that's when you first heard of Dr. Anthony Fauci. So he's not perfect. This is not perfect information, and he should stress that more, and he should, no matter what Ted Cruz says about him, he should avoid getting in political spats.
I wish someone had told him that. Too late. I want the record to show. I have invited Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins back to the show repeatedly since my rather tense conversation with Dr. Fauci on the belief system that you can have tense conversations followed by informative conversations followed by tense conversations. That's what news people do. You ask questions and sometimes they don't like it, but you keep coming back. He won't come back. Dr. Collins is thus far won't come back. That tells me that they're hypersensitive to criticism, which is the last thing we need from a public health official. And Byron, they all have to go. And Ron Klain knows this. He ran the Ebola thing. Communication is everything. And this is an urgent matter of life and death. If Omicron doesn't in fact, let me put it a different way. If the vaccines do not block Omicron, people need to know that ASAP stat. Doesn't mean the government should lock down. Doesn't mean a mandate. It just means information about gaps in the vaccine network need to be communicated quickly. And we haven't done that.
And then they will do what you said you were doing, which is they'll make an informed decision on whether they should change any of their behavior because of this. But the other thing we need to know, I mean, look, we don't know anything about Omicron. I mean, it's pretty clear. They don't know how transmissible it is. Maybe it's more transmissible. Maybe it's not. They don't know how much damage it does. I mean, how potent is it? How sick does it make people? Right now, we seem to have anecdotal evidence out of South Africa that it's not as severe as other forms of COVID.
Let me pause right there. Lawyer in me, the law professor, is obliged to say anecdotal evidence is evidence of anecdotes. I've seen the South African doctor's testimony. I haven't said anything about it because anecdotal evidence is evidence of anecdotes. And until you actually have a serious study, we can't conclude anything about its severity. All I want to know is, does it evade the vaccine? And when you've got the Moderna CEO saying it does, well, that's a red light, isn't it?
Well, yes. But on the other hand, you began this interview by saying moments earlier. Okay, so it takes the world a little while to react to news. So we're reacting to this in,
you and I
in
are.
Real time.
But do you,
well, in
do
real
you think,
time.
But do you think Ron Klain and Tony Fauci and Francis Collins and Rachel Walensky are just learning that this morning from the Financial Times?
I think they had indications of it earlier.
And do you
I
think
mean, you'd have to assume they had indications of
yes.
it earlier.
Yes. And I think it's malpractice. I'm actually aghast.
And then they go out and say, get vaccinated.
Exactly. It's actually, gosh, I'm angry. I spend months telling people to get vaccinated. I've spent this week telling them Omicron is, you know, get vaccinated. All signs are you'll be fine. And it's it may not be true. The head of Moderna says it's not true.
When this Omicron thing started and you began to hear public officials and the experts on television said, well, we don't really know anything about it, but the best thing you can do right now
yes.
is to get vaccinated.
Didn't you are spot
the
on.
Time as a reflexive argument and not actually based
and
in knowledge
get a tax
of Omicron.
Cut. Get a tax get, cut and rename
cut,
your
cut
dog
tax.
Reagan. Yeah, because there are only three responses in America. Get a vaccine, cut taxes, and name your everything Reagan. Byron, you put your finger on it, and you gave me a different level of disgust with the government. Because what they originally
always
had just
glad
said,
to help you.
Always glad to help. My level of disgust has just gone higher. God almighty, people, just if you don't know something, say, I don't know. We'll get back to you. Byron York, always on the money. Follow him on Twitter, @ByronYork. Gosh, I'm angry this morning. The government should all be fired. All of them. Fire them. I'll be right back on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt, live inside the Beltway on November 30th. Joined by Admiral James Stavridis, retired United States Navy Admiral. Good morning. Great to have you back on The Hugh Hewitt Show.
Good to be with you, Hugh.
And congratulations on the publication of the, the Sailor's Bookshelf.
Sailor's Bookshelf, 50 books to know the sea. What it does is, like my book, The Leader's Bookshelf, walk through 50 books of leadership. This book walks through 50 books about the sea. About half are fiction, half are nonfiction.
I've already asked the fetchy Mrs. Hewitt that be on my Christmas gift list. So you've got one sail in the bucket, but I'm sure it's going to spread like wildfire. As is the news I want to talk to you about, Admiral. I know Dwayne briefed you a little bit. I'm kind of sorry that he did, because I'd rather have your forewarned as forearmed, especially with someone like you. But I'm going to read the article to you and then ask you to respond. The chief executive of Moderna, according to the Financial Times 5 hours ago, has predicted that existing vaccines will be much less effective at tackling Omicron than earlier strains of coronavirus, warned it would take months before pharmaceutical companies could manufacture new variant-specific jabs at scale. Stéphane Bessel said the high number of Omicron mutations on the spike protein, which the virus uses to infect human cells, and the rapid spread of the variant in South Africa suggested that the current crop of vaccines may need to be modified next year. There is no world, I think, where the effectiveness is the same level we had with the Delta variant, Bessel told the Financial Times in an interview with him at the company's headquarters in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He added, quote, I think it's going to be a material drop. I just don't know how much because we need to wait for the data. But all the scientists I've talked to are like, this is not going to be good. What's your reaction to that, Admiral?
Well, I think back to almost 2 years ago when Admiral Stavridis and the esteemed Hugh Hewitt had a conversation as China was kind of manifesting this weird virus. And everyone sort of said, it's going to be fine. You and I said, and you ought to replay that tape at some point, you know, let's hope so. But this could be like Spanish influenza of 1918, a global disaster. I think we called that earlier than most.
In January of that year. Yes.
So thinking back to that conversation, unfortunately, I had the same reaction, which is I hope this isn't true, but it sounds like it has the ring of truth to me. And if you are the head of Moderna, Pfizer, J&J, you have spent the last 7 days at least doing nothing but huddling with your scientists as they are literally running tests in real time, moving information. So I think it's quite significant that he felt he should, if you will, go public with this. The next step is for our government and all governments to really bring together this scientific, commercial, private, public entity that is fighting COVID and get us where we need to be as rapidly as possible. Because if that's true and Omicron is going to overcome our vaccines and even our boosters, we've got to go back to a very strict set of regimes that are not going to be very popular globally. And unfortunately, obviously, we're headed into the season of light when people want to be up and about and traveling. So I can't think of a worse piece of news coming from a more credible source, Hugh.
That's very well put. A worse piece of news coming from a more credible source. That's very well put, Admiral, per usual. Now, my reaction is we won't go back to lockdowns. We ought, however, to inform individuals that what they thought was their level of protection is not their level of protection because a free people will make individual decisions. It will impact my behavior. Will it impact your behavior?
It already has. And even before you read me that quote yesterday about this time, I was huddled with my team and made a decision not to travel this week to Europe. Because Omicron is popping up in Denmark, where I was headed. It's in Germany. It's in the UK. I was worried about contracting a new variant, even though I'm not fully vaccinated and boosted. But I was worried about also, Hugh, and I think this is what will freeze people in place, travel restrictions internationally. You know, I could end up in Copenhagen in a situation where I can't get out of there. And so I'm watching Danish television for a couple of weeks. I'm sure it's terrific, but I don't speak Danish. And it would be less than fulfilling and blow a big hole in my fall schedule. So I think there are going to be, first and foremost, leaning back from international travel. Second thing I did yesterday, I ordered a big tranche of N95 masks. I've been using the kind of lightweight, more comfortable surgical mask. I think if this thing gets real, I'm going to N95s. So you will notice, by the way, that medical personnel who assiduously wear those N95s, they're a little less comfortable, but the 95 is 95% good at preventing anything coming in. You don't see doctors and nurses coming down with this thing very often. That's part of the reason. And then number three, on the positive side, unless this gets disastrous, I am going to continue to travel domestically. I'm just going to be smart about where I go. I'm not going to go to indoor gatherings where I don't know that everyone is vaccinated, for example. So I think if the Moderna CEO is right, I think this is going to be a hit to the restaurant, travel, particularly international, and it's going to make us all a bit more cautious. That's how I'm approaching it.
Now, Admiral, I know you do your best to stay out of partisan infighting. And I appreciate that because I think your phone's going to ring and Ron Klain's going to ask you at some point to come over and be their vaccines are whatever we call this coronavirus are, because the credibility of the public health agencies is in ruins. And now I am just so angry that I have spent a week telling my audience that the vaccine and the boosters were probably enough and not to worry, you might get a mild case, it might break through more carefully. I'm an omnivore of information about this, so I read everything. This is the first indication that not only does it evade the virus, it is deadlier than the virus. It's the first piece of information. What do you make of our government, without being specific to individuals, inability to communicate at speed?
Well, let's start by hearkening to that old military expression, and you know it, the first report is often wrong. So let's give it 24 hours, maybe. How about a week? What the president talked about yesterday was this is going to take 2 to 3 weeks. I think all those are accurate, and we're going to have, as we always do in crisis, whether it's a personal crisis, a crisis on the battlefield, a diplomatic crisis, there are moments when you think everything is crashing down, and there are moments when you think, oh, this is going to be okay. Normally, it lands somewhere in the middle. So point one, let's get more data. Point two, we are, and this is good news, we are vastly better prepared now for this, if it is at the dark end of the equation, than we were 2 years ago when Hugh and Jim were speculating on how bad this was going to get. We do have masks. You know, I went online and there were a million opportunities to order any kind of surgical mask I wanted. You know, 2 years ago, we were making masks in our homes. Think about that for a minute. We have drugs that, if you contract this, can help you get better.
Therapeutics. Some of those therapeutics, yep.
Much huge better. Point that is often not mentioned. And then thirdly, we do have vaccines and we have the capability, and the Moderna CEO said it, if we have to, we can regun this thing. But bottom line, this is going to take leadership out of Washington, but also leadership out of Berlin and London and Tokyo. This is going to be an all hands on deck effort if this thing is at the dark end of the spectrum. I'll close again by saying the first report is often wrong. And by the way, before coming on with you, I was watching cable news, and there was a doctor from South Africa talking about how everybody she has treated has had very mild symptoms. She admitted they were a very young population, so you got to factor that into it. But we're just at that stage, Hugh, where we're going to hear things that make us feel terrific and things that make us feel terrible. This thing will probably land somewhere in the middle. Let's gather more data before we rush to judgment on it.
You know, Admiral, I'm going to push back on that a little bit, because I talked to Dr. Collins and Dr. Fauci before the latter became very political and the former went invisible and announced his retirement about the dreaded Omega variant, I called it at the time, going to the end of the Greek alphabet, the one that escapes and is more deadly and hits young people and especially its children. And of course, that's that's the dark end of the spectrum if it gets kids. And anecdotal evidence is evidence of anecdotes. So the doctor in South Africa is doing more harm than good by being out there saying, my patients are fine, they're younger, though. That's actually bad information to project into a communicable world where everything travels at the speed of the Internet. I think
I'm going to push back slightly on your pushback and say the point I was making was not that that made me feel better. The point is that we're going to see information with varying degrees of credibility across the spectrum. Okay. I think you are absolutely right to put much more weight on what you're hearing from the CEO of one of the manufacturers.
That's it. Because you advise public companies. You know that a Moderna CEO cannot go out and affect the market without risk of criminal and civil liability. So that is, to me, a super indicator, super credible information backed up by the risk of criminal prosecution. He does not say that unless he knows. Now, unfortunately, this weekend was spent with Dr. Fauci talking about January 6 committees and Ted Cruz. What should the government do right now, Dr. Stavridis? Admiral Stavridis.
Actually, I am a doctor.
You
although
are.
If you ask my mother, she would say, my son, the wrong kind of doctor, because I'm a PhD, not an MD. But I will put my doctor hat on for a minute and answer the question. This is an all hands on deck, and it's international all hands. So the White House ought to be convening and driving, for example, the G7, maybe the G20, certainly the United Nations. We've got to get the international community aligned. Number two, it's an interagency fight we're in here. This is not something that's going to be solved strictly by any single organ of the government. We've got to pull them together. And above all, it's private public. And I would hope that at this minute, the White House is reaching out to the CEOs of Moderna, Pfizer, J&J, and every one of these vaccines, and also talking to China and Russia and finding out what their vaccines, which are maybe 70% as good as the ones I just listed, but are still vaccines. We've got to pool that data. No one of us is as smart as all of us thinking together in this. So international, interagency, private, public, and finally, strategic communications. You've got to get truth out there, but do it in a balanced and sensible way so people don't end up panicking. That's a big order. Let's see what happens over the next 2 to 3 weeks and have this conversation again.
We will. In a week, Admiral James Stavridis. In the meantime, we want people to go out and get the Sailor's Bookshelf. And right there on your screen, if you're watching on the Salem News Channel, you'll see the Sailor's Bookshelf, the perfect Christmas present, because I think we're all going to be spending a lot of Christmas at home. Admiral, thank you. Time to talk about ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Why do I tell you to get this? Because whether or not we're going to be back self-quarantining, there are not going to be lockdowns. It's just not going to fly in the American public anymore. But whatever we end up doing, we ought to be doing it with ReliefFactor.com, because if we're doing things differently, if we're bending the wrong way, if we're going the wrong way, we are going to need to have ReliefFactor.com on hand and ready, because a lot of it is better than a little of it. $19.95 is a starter pack. That's 3 weeks, and you're going to love it. Most people do. Some people say, no, it didn't work for me, but most people say it's wonderful. I do, and I take it every morning, took it in the first hour. Come right back after this ReliefFactor.com segment. I'm going to be talking with you. I want phone calls, 1-800-520-1234. What's your reaction to this news on The Hugh Hewitt Show? Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com. Morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. I'm Hugh Hewitt with breaking news. The CEO of Moderna, the maker of one of the two vaccines or three vaccines that are most effective against the coronavirus, and you should get vaccinated and you should get your booster, told the Financial Times about 7 hours ago that there are material differences between the Omicron virus and the one that we have been protecting against. Consequence of that to be discussed shortly with Jeff Shepard. Jeff is my guest. He's the author of this brand new brilliant book, The Nixon Conspiracy. As we approach the 50th anniversary of the Watergate break-in next June, Jeff Shepard, the world's greatest expert on Watergate, and he lived it, every day of it, inside of the Nixon White House, joins me now to talk about his book. But, you know, we are a breaking news-driven show, Jeff. So once I get the news out about the Nixon conspiracy, I'm going to make you put on your lawyer hat and respond to the term material. First of all, how did your rollout go at the Nixon Library of the Nixon Conspiracy?
Well, it was a wonderful presentation, Hugh. We had lots of people, we had lots of interest, and we sold lots of books, which was the purpose. You know, C-SPAN also filmed it, and they're going to broadcast it again on their book TV series. I just learned they're going to do it in late January.
So I want everyone to do it before. I want everyone to know. We must have a delay. Jeff, the key thing for anyone pushing a book is to say the title, The Nixon Conspiracy, seven times in any segment, according to Frank Luntz. So always work in. The Nixon Conspiracy will be on C-SPAN in late January, and The Nixon Conspiracy is selling well at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores near you. In fact, The Nixon Conspiracy will sell and sell and sell with anyone who wants to know what happened. Now, I'm going to move to back to your lawyer hat in a second, but will you tell people the three biggest takeaways in The Nixon Conspiracy?
In my book, The Nixon Conspiracy, absolutely. The first biggest takeaway is I got the roadmap unsealed. The roadmap was the secret report the prosecutors sent to the grand jurors and then to the Hill accusing Nixon of personal crimes that they felt should have led to his impeachment. I got that unsealed, and when you look at it, it's filled with falsehoods and misrepresentations. The second takeaway from my book, The Nixon Conspiracy, is that I uncovered in the past several years four caches of documents prepared by special prosecutors that they took with them when they left office. And this prevented any understanding of their corrupt approach, their misconduct, when they pursued Nixon and his top aides. And the third thing, which is hugely important, is that having completed the book and documented all of this wrongdoing by the special prosecutors, by a vengeful judge, and by a complacent media, I filed a complaint of attorney misconduct with the Department of Justice. It turns out they have an internal affairs unit that's sole responsibility is to investigate misconduct by Department of Justice attorneys, and I've called them on it. I've got the proof. All of my work is backed up by documents that are publicly available at the National Archives. It's astonishing what these folks committed to writing. Secret meetings with the judges, suppression of evidence that would be helpful to the defense, lies and falsehoods about Nixon's own personal involvement, and it's all there in writing for people to see.
Now, it's all in the Nixon Conspiracy. Your book, The Nixon Conspiracy.
Which would make a wonderful Christmas present.
It would.
Well, because it's important to know what happened then, 50 years ago, because the same blueprint is being followed today. Once you get political prosecutions, truth goes out the window and the facts don't matter. It just becomes people repeating their own talking points. And people think, oh, this is new today, but it's not. It was done 50 years ago. It was successful. They voided President Nixon's reelection, and there was no talk radio, no podcasts, no Fox News, no Newsmax around to show the other side. So now most Americans...
Jeff, The Nixon Conspiracy is out. People need to get it. I think, by the way, it's wonderfully written. I'm not surprised because you and I did 8 hours of conversation about the Nixon Library, about the Watergate scandal at the Nixon Library. People can watch that, but they're better off reading this. Now my transition question. Why is what you discovered, in a legal sense, material?
Well, according to our Constitution, people under the Fifth and Sixth Amendments, people have a right to due process, which roughly translates as a right to fair trials. And it turns out, based on these documents that I've uncovered, the Watergate people, there were 24 members of Nixon's administration. They didn't get anything close to a fair trial. They had corrupt prosecutors, specially recruited, highly partisan prosecutors. They had a vindictive trial judge, and they had complacent media that was basically repeating falsehoods about them. Nixon had the same situation, but it had to do with the grand jury naming him a co-conspirator and evidence secretly sent up to the Hill by the special prosecutors, which was never made public. We didn't know what they had accused Nixon of doing until I got a court to unseal that roadmap in 2018, until I was successful in that. We didn't know what they had accused Nixon of doing, and it turns out they couldn't prove it. in order
now that
to
is,
do.
That is a definition of materiality right there. It changes the way people understand Watergate. It would have changed the way people defended themselves against criminal charges. It's material information. Now, Jeff, I have breaking news, so I want to take advantage of your great legal mind. You're going to have to come back and spend more time on the Nixon conspiracy when we don't have breaking news. The head of Moderna this morning is interviewed by the Financial Times and announces that the new Omicron variant of the virus evades the vaccines in a material way. What does that tell you?
That we're in trouble. We're going to have to develop as quickly as we can another vaccine. But in addition to that, the people who discovered this new variant say it's more easily transmitted, but it's milder cases.
Stop, so Jeff. He doesn't agree with that. The head of Moderna, you probably haven't seen the report yet. He will not. He won't agree to that. The doctor who has treated a few patients in South Africa said they had mild cases. The head of Moderna says it's materially different and the vaccine doesn't work. What's that mean?
Well, Hugh, this is the reason that I stick to Watergate. I don't give good opinions. Well, you know, what you want, and you want to be fully informed. And yes. Today, one of the difficulties is you can't trust anybody. You can't trust the report. You can't trust the Financial Times to fairly report what he may or may not have said.
Actually, do you believe that? I do. I trust the Financial Times probably more than any other newspaper in the world.
That's because you read it every day, and you're familiar with its approach and with its thoroughness. I've never read the Financial Times, Hugh.
You?
Me. I deal with Watergate. I am probably the foremost expert.
You are.
On Watergate prosecutions. I have spent years and years and years. I was on a conversation yesterday, a Zoom call, with a couple of federal judges in a group. And we really got into the weeds on this stuff, just I would do with you. You teach constitutional law. What fun. It may not be of interest to your listeners to go that deep into the woods, but this stuff, this Watergate prosecution stuff, was so wrong, and the evidence is so clear, it's amazing that it doesn't make headline news. I mean,
history rarely does. I mean, we could find the remains of King Arthur today in England, and it wouldn't make news because it doesn't concern what people are going to do tomorrow. But I think the Nixon conspiracy will change people's understanding of what happened to President Nixon and indeed inform, as you just said, how they ought to view the scandals against President Trump. But you sell yourself short when you say you only know Watergate. You know materiality, Jeff Shepard. You know what
That's
matters.
True.
You do.
Yes.
And
I do.
You have to
materiality count. Yes.
And you have to be willing to shoot from the hip on everything on a book tour.
And as you pointed out in about my book, The Nixon Conspiracy, which it would make a great Christmas present for family and friends, it doesn't matter whether you like Nixon or like Trump. What matters for the way things are done is the rule of law. I mean, you have to have fair trials. But most Americans would agree that no matter how heinous the crime, no matter how despicable the defendants, they get a fair trial.
They need, they must have. And the reason Nixon and his colleagues did not get it is detailed here in irrefutable fashion in The Nixon Conspiracy, available in bookstores now by Jeff Shepard, Shepard, The Nixon Conspiracy. Go and get it. I'll be right back.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
The news weather is certainly frightful. Welcome back, America. I'm live inside the Beltway. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I have reported earlier this morning that the chief executive of Moderna told the Financial Times about 7 hours ago that there is no world, I think, in which the effectiveness of the vaccine is at the same level versus the Omicron variant. He went on to say, I think it's going to be a material drop. I just don't know how much because we need to wait for the data, but all scientists I've talked to are like, this is not going to be good. When I pointed that out to Admiral Stavridis, he said he'd already canceled a trip, ordered N95 masks. And when I pointed it out to Ron Klain, he responded on Twitter, that's the White House chief of staff, "Nothing Moderna or anyone else has said contradicts this. Boosters are the strongest protection we have against COVID. Everyone who is eligible should get one now." I agree with that, but it's about as responsive as if he had told me to buy Lexus over Toyota. It's non-responsive. I'm joined by Senator Tom Cotton of the great state of Arkansas. Senator Cotton, you heard the news about what the CEO of Moderna said. You heard what Chief of Staff Klain responded to my tweet. What do you think?
Good morning, Hugh, and early Merry Christmas to you and all of your listeners. I think, obviously, that we need to be following all the evidence. The Omicron data is still coming in from various parts of the world. We need to assume that it's going to reach here sooner or later, and to be mindful of its consequences. At the same time, we have to recognize that this virus is almost certainly going to be endemic around the world, and we have to live with it in ways that don't destroy our economy, don't cost people their livelihoods, don't set kids back for years because of school closures or masking policies, and take prudent steps to protect especially the elderly and the frail. And that the Biden administration, I mean, it just made a complete hash out of the way they've communicated against the virus. I mean, it started in the campaign last year, Hugh, blaming a contagious virus on President Trump, when we now have seen that there are more deaths this year under President Biden than there were under President Trump. It's not to say that it's the fault of either one of them. That's just what happens with a contagious virus. It mutates and it spreads, and it's especially dangerous for the frail and the elderly. And you saw that again with Tony Fauci on TV this weekend, acting like just a partisan politician as opposed to a public health official. He's, in my opinion, lost the credibility to be any kind of impartial or credible messenger, as have the heads of most of these public health organizations in the government.
There is no one with credibility. My suggestion is that the White House go find someone like Stavridis and stand them up, as Ron Klain was the Ebola czar under President Obama. They need a COVID czar, and they need to stop miscommunicating about Omicron. And Senator Cotton, Admiral Stavridis canceled a trip to Denmark, and he's buying N95 masks. He's not an excitable guy. He says first reports are always wrong. And I'm not an excitable. I'm an angry person because I think the White House has allowed people to miscommunicate about Omicron. The minimum they should have said is we don't know. It could be bad. What Moderna's CEO said is it's going to be bad. It's going to be different than the last virus. You were first to the bell on what the first virus did. I mean, you were the first public official out there saying stop flights from China. At this point, knowing what Moderna CEO says, as a publicly traded company CEO, he cannot panic the country. What do you think people ought to do? I don't think there should be lockdowns. I don't think schools should be closed. But what should we do?
Hugh, at this point, I think it's a little early to have material changes, especially in public policy. Again, you see some of the Democrats in the media kind of stoking an early hysteria about a variant of this virus about which still little is known. What little is known from South Africa, where it apparently emerged first, suggests that, yes, it may have more transmissible, but not necessarily more virulent, potentially even less virulent. For individuals, it's a choice you have to make on your own based on your own medical conditions and your own risk perceptions. You know, if you're worried about your medical conditions, I'd advise everyone to consult with a doctor. I think it is too early to have wholesale sweeping changes that move in the direction that too many Democrats have moved for the last 2 years, which is, you know, closing schools, limiting capacity at factories, locking down sectors of the economy.
I agree with that. But Senator Cotton, I don't think it is too early to tell people they might not have the immunity they think they have. And there might be significant changes in travel ahead. Admiral Stavridis doesn't want to go to Denmark because he's afraid he's going to get stuck in Denmark. And he ordered some N95 masks. I don't think it's too early to say we don't know. And I don't think it's too early to stop miscommunicating that the booster and the vaccine, which people should get, is effective against Omicron. I've seen the South African doctors saying among toddlers there's no serious effect. I know that's not responsive to the question of whether or not people who are 65 and older, including yours truly, can, you know, move around the country freely again if Omicron is not here yet. No evidence of it. It's in Canada. appears. I think we need to be candid about what we know and what we don't know and not confuse people. And I think the White House is confusing people.
Yeah, I've forgotten just how old you are, Hugh.
Oh, you're a horrible person.
You probably do need to hide out in your house for the next 6 months.
Are you going to bring up the Ohio State loss next? Are you going to bring up the Browns losing to the Ravens, you bad man?
But in all seriousness, Hugh, I think you're right that we should communicate what we know and what we don't know. This is part of the problem that we saw over the last 2 years with people like Tony Fauci is they took it upon themselves to parcel out information in a slanted and political way as if the American people were small children who couldn't have a frank conversation about Santa Claus. The American people can make the decisions that they need for themselves based on their own medical conditions and consulting with their doctors and getting genuine information about what we know and what we don't know. That's true of the vaccines in general, Hugh. I mean, the kind of almost religious fervor that Joe Biden and these Democrats have placed in vaccination campaigns to include an inquisition-like tormenting of anyone who has not been vaccinated to the point that people are losing their jobs and losing their livelihoods on logic that is extremely odd. Just think about it, Hugh. Joe Biden is out there saying that we're losing our patients with you people who are not vaccinated because you are not getting a vaccine that's going to protect us who are vaccinated from you. Well, how does that work, Hugh? Look, it's pretty clear at this point that against all known variants at this point, maybe Omicron will be different, but in all known variants at this point, vaccines are pretty reliable at stopping the worst outcomes, hospitalizations, and certainly death. But it's now also clear that they're not so reliable, unfortunately, in protecting you against getting the virus or transmitting the virus. And if that's the case, why are we trying to ostracize and condemn and attack and harangue Americans who, for whatever reason, have not been vaccinated when they're barely more likely to spread the virus to someone, to anyone else than those who have been vaccinated?
Yeah, that is, I won't go that last step with you because I'm not sure that's evidence-based yet, but you're better informed than I am. I do know, see, at Michigan Law, they teach us these things, and I know they don't teach this at Harvard Law, that when a publicly traded company CEO comes out and talks about material change, that's a significant event. Something is happening. And the CEO of Moderna ought to be up in front of your Senate committee immediately. I really do think someone should be putting him under oath and saying, what do you know that we don't know? What do you know that the White House isn't telling us? Because I'm afraid politics is entering into this now and that Tony Fauci is off attacking Ted Cruz because he doesn't want to talk about the fact that maybe everything we've done, which was good to do and bad to do, and we can sort that out, is irrelevant to Omicron. Because if it's a new disease, it's a new disease. And we need to know that, Senator. We need people to just tell us what they know and they don't know. And a fellow like Bansell, who's under criminal and civil liability for speaking in half-truths or misleading statements to the investing community, he's a model of clarity this morning. So put on your HLS hat and tell me, how do you read this? I read it very direly.
Yeah, you're certainly right that the leaders of publicly traded companies have legal and fiduciary duties of which they must be mindful that politicians like the White House chief of staff don't.
Right.
We live in a world of spin and political takes. So you're certainly right about that. But again, I would just remind everyone that Joe Biden and the Democrats politicized this virus from the very beginning. And just look over the weekend when Joe Biden took the steps of stopping travel from Southern African nations. When Donald Trump did that in early 2020, they condemned him as a racist and a xenophobe for targeting African countries. The hypocrisy knows no bounds. Or look at what they said earlier this year. Joe Biden and Tony Fauci and so many others said, we're not going to have a vaccine mandate. That's not something the federal government could do. And in August and September, when Joe Biden's poll numbers were trending downward, what did they do? They imposed a vaccine mandate using an unconstitutional appropriation of authority through OSHA, which has now been stopped by the courts, as it should have been. So what they're saying now should be viewed in light of the way they have politicized this virus from the very beginning.
So, Senator, last comment for you. If I were the king of the forest, not queen, not duke, not earl, I'd walk out in the White House and say, nobody close schools. This virus doesn't hurt kids. Nobody lock down the economy. People can make their own decisions about when and where to shop. But if you're a senior citizen or medically fragile, you've got to be aware there's a new disease. It's called a variant, but there's a new disease that could put you in a hospital and in dire conditions. Luckily, we have new therapeutics, and we're working on a new vaccine. More news to follow. What do you think about my summary?
Well, Hugh, despite your advanced age, you'd still be a spring chicken in the White House and the Senate. And I think you did it so well that maybe you should throw your hat in the ring next time.
No, I've started my – I played your – I am actually quite younger than the last two presidents. I played your quote from Fox and Friends earlier today, and I do believe it's reprehensible that Dr. Fauci is still there. I'm the last guy to come around to saying he's not credible. He's not. I mean, they got to fire everyone and start over, or no one's going to believe anything. Is that too alarmist?
No, you. That is true. I mean, the same goes for Rochelle Walensky as the head of the CDC as well. But Tony Fauci has been doing this now for 2 years. I mean, he showed what a true partisan he is this weekend. I would say the same thing if he had had comments similar to what he said about Ted Cruz, about Bernie Sanders or Liz Warren. Tony Fauci is a federal employee. He should not be engaged in partisan jousting with sitting United States senators, all 100 of whom are democratically elected by our fellow citizens to make decisions for the country. No one elected Tony Fauci to make these decisions, yet he's assumed this kind of super legislator role for the last 20 years. And by the way, he has lied to Congress. So he should both go from NIH and he should be investigated for lying to Congress.
Last question. Do you think it's possible he got in a fight with Senator Cruz on Face the Nation because he's alarmed by what he knows about Omicron?
No, Hugh, I think he's power hungry, and he's let the celebrity and the publicity go to his head, and he is angry at anyone who doesn't just kind of bow down in front of what he claims is his supposed expertise. Again, he is expert in a very narrow slice of human knowledge. He runs the Agency for Infectious Diseases. That is a specific kind of expertise. But when you're an expert in that, you spend your entire life studying that narrow slice of expertise. Tony Fauci doesn't know the first thing about economics. He doesn't know the first thing about childhood development. We elect people to government offices to make those decisions for the country. We don't elect bureaucrats because they don't have the kind of broad-based knowledge that we expect our elected officials to have.
Amen. On that note, Senator Cotton, thank you. Stay safe out there.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.